Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. Grab your cup of coffee. Hot? Got mine? Sit back and relax, and let's chat about what is happening in astrology for the week ahead. And apparently I was listening to videos on my computer. I hope everybody had a wonderful weekend. It sure goes by fast, doesn't it? It's like 1 minute, it's Friday night and you're all in anticipation of the weekend. And the next thing you know, it's Sunday night and you're going, oh, I better get ready for the work week ahead. It just goes by so fast. Time does seem to fly sometimes, doesn't it? Well, the astrology of the weekend was pretty good. I didn't notice any major bumps up or bumps down, but this week ahead is likely going to be filled with several of them. So in order to be prepared, we're going to take a look ahead at the week. We'll start by looking at today with the moon in Scorpio, making several connections to planets today, but none that are particularly dastardly or bad or upsetting. They're really trines and sextiles, so it sort of shows that we have at least the backbone of the day, the moon, the emotional feeling of the day, in a place that makes it easy and rolls along with everything that's going on. But for the moon in the sign of Scorpio, as you know, things can get intense. And Scorpio is a sign that goes deep into things. It's deeply emotional. It's deeply passionate. It is an intense kind of energy. And for those people like me, Gemini, lighter energy, it feels a little heavier, a little more cloying than what I usually like to have it. But we can look at the themes of Scorpio and see how they might interact with these other planets today. On Friday, I actually went through the depth of what Scorpio would be like for the weekend. But let me just remind you of some of the key areas. Empowerment. Right? It's all about the empowerment of the individual, the empowerment of your own ability to move forward. Change and transformation and transcendence, these are great words also for Scorpio. They are masters at taking care of crises. So crises, skills, being able to take care of the dramas and the traumas that pop up. Self-mastery. Self-mastery is what this particular sign is best at. It goes deep. It looks at all of the reasons why I'm not getting where I want to be and looking at the emotional connections to what that's all about and being willing then to take the steps necessary to make the changes needed to get to where they need to go. I love that. This is a sign of sex and soulmates. Now, that's an interesting kind of connection because we also have this sun at the gate 59 starting this week that is all about sex and reproduction, but we're going to take it and twist it a little bit and see what else we can wring out of that particular placement of the sun. This is also a sign, Scorpio, that is about financial empowerment. It deals with financial partnerships, OPM, other people's money here. It is the ruler of the eighth house. And in that, it is all about the money that comes to you from other sources. So not necessarily what you earn, but what a spouse may bring into the picture, what you may receive from wills or inheritances or from taxes or tax credits or grants, that type of thing. So money that comes to us from outside of us. I was thinking about this energy in Scorpio because of the unemployment money that people are, you know, relying on right now to, in some cases, to help them support their families, and how negative of an impact it was to have that chunk of money, the $600 that people were getting, taken away because most states have very little given in unemployment, about 60% maybe of your income. And in some states, it may be even less than that. And they think that that is sort of this impetus to get you out and find a job. But right now, when there are no jobs to be found, or few jobs to be found, it can be a problem. So we are also dealing with that right now. The moon in Scorpio makes that more emotional and sort of adds to the power struggles that are going on within families, within the government, and within groups of people that are all vying for these funds that will help support their work. So I'm going to go back over here now to YouTube just to say good morning to everybody. Hello, Allison. Good to see you. Asa, good morning. Mimi, hello. And Michelle, good. Wow, you're up early. Good morning to you. J-Lo, hello, hello. Jackie Piccola, we hadn't seen you for a while, so it's good to see you. Camilla, hello. She says, morning, everyone. I hope you all had a great weekend. Jennifer Peachy, hello. Pauline, hi. You missed me on the for a card reading or chart. Well, on Friday, I actually did yours, Pauline, I do believe. I can't remember now exactly, but I also sent you an email with information on it on how to join the membership and all of that. So if you find that in your email, I sent that to you, I believe it was on Thursday, because you had emailed me and said you got missed. And unfortunately, that happens, Pauline. I cannot get to everybody. I have a limited amount of time to do this. I try to get to everybody. And those people that I miss on Thursday, sometimes I can pick up on Friday. And I did pick up a few. Maybe you weren't one of them, though. Joshua, good morning. Amanda Jeffs, good morning. And Sally, good morning. Rueda, good morning. And Jackie says, I slept in a bit last week. Happy to be back. It's great to see you. And indeed, this particular last week was a busy one, I think, for everybody. There was a lot going on. As we look ahead at this week, though, we also have a lot going on. And this week seems to be a little bit odd in terms of the transits that are happening. And so we look at the week ahead, all of the inner planets, and by inner planets or personal planets, we mean the moon, the sun, even though they're not technically planets, and then Mercury, Venus, and Mars. Those are all inner planets, or you will also hear me call them personal planets. And the planets from Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto out, including the asteroids, we consider them to be collective or transpersonal planets. Well, this particular week sees the inner planets all dancing with the outer planets. So we have a week that kind of looks like, for on one hand, that the personal planets would seem to suggest that there's something personal going on, that you're able to do what you need to do. But the fact that they're all intermingling with the outer planets says that in some cases, things may be out of your hands and out of your control, that there are bigger agendas at play, likely the evolutionary impulses or the needs of your community or the needs of the people in your family that pull you away a bit from what it is that you think that you want to do. So be aware of that as you go through this week, the whole week, all the way through Sunday. As we look today, we have Mars in a control issue with Saturn. We have Mercury in a control issue with Chiron. And then as we go further through the week, Tuesday, Mercury in a tangle with Uranus. Not so much of a bad thing. None of this is really particularly bad or good. Venus in an opposition to Jupiter. On Thursday, we have Venus in a trine to Neptune. On Saturday, we have Mercury in a trine to Jupiter, and Sunday, Venus and Mercury opposing Pluto and Neptune. It's amazing to me to see that. I don't know why it was called to my attention, right? That was the thing this morning as I was doing the work to get this all together today. I was looking at that going, well, that is really interesting. So in some ways, that contributes to our feeling of impatience. It can contribute to feeling in conflict in some way, or confronted by whatever it is that, you know, is going on in your life where these planets are sitting in your chart. So this is a week that really calls us up for patience and knowing that you're not always the one that's in control. You always get to choose, but sometimes the choosing is about how it is that you're going to respond to delays or to the things that are happening in your particular chart or in your particular life. So don't be surprised if you feel blocked. Today, Mars squaring Saturn in retrograde begins that difficult sort of feeling. That actually doesn't come into connection until later in the day, but be prepared now. Why not get prepared now? That we might feel like we're blocked from asserting ourselves into whatever it is that we wanted to do, into executing our plans may feel like it's being stifled or that there's some resistance going on. And it will create underneath the surface. It can create an impatience or a frustration that we're not able to get to go where we want to go and do the things that we want to do. And here's the other key, at the speed that we want to get it done with. And that's why today is a day to slow things down, to make the adjustments that whatever it is that the universe is calling you to adjust. Is it your time? Is it your schedule? Is it how fast you can move on a project? Is it whether or not to launch a project? So slowing down the roll to make whatever adjustments are necessary. If you're going so fast, like Mars likes to go fast, and he's in a sign right now, not retrograde, that he loves, right? This is an action-oriented sign, and the frustration comes in when he meets up with Saturn, who is in retrograde, already slowed down, and it is a planet that demands our sustainable a sustainability factor to anything that you do, right? It's very resourceful, and in that, it slows things down to make sure that all the boxes are ticked, right? That all the I's are dotted and the T's crossed so that we can make sure that everything is in its proper order. So slowing down to make whatever adjustments are necessary, and we may need patience in order to do that because we are on a roll. Don't you just hate it when you're on a roll and everything's working good and then you realize, oh my God, I'm out of ink, right? And I can't finish printing the project, or I can't print the project. And then you have to make a run to the store and hope that they have, and then you get to the store and they don't have your ink. It's out, right? Those are the kinds of things, the delays and the hurdles that you may have to get through this particular week. So we need patience, endurance, and a plan for the long run, not just for today. So if things don't work out for today, then you just have to be going, okay, well, there's a reason. I don't know what it is. I can't see it. And to be able to go with that. Otherwise, you're just breeding more and more frustration and more anger. And, sort of sometimes then that gets us into this point of wanting to just dump it all, right? Just drop it all. I'm not doing this. I don't want to do this. It's not working anyway, sort of as a self-sabotaging tool. So being careful, no self-sabotage necessary. Just go with the flow. Slow things down a bit and see what it is that the universe requires of you before you can carry on. Hopefully everybody gets that. Mercury today is in conjunct to the planet Chiron, or to the asteroid, whatever you want to call it, minor planet, dwarf planet. Let's just call it a planet, planet Chiron. And that means today there might be minor misunderstandings between us as we don't maybe hear or understand exactly what it is that the other person intended for us to hear or understand. We might miss the meaning and we're thinking it means one thing when it really means another. So don't assume anything today. Right? This is not a very easy kind of transit. Mercury rules our mind and our communication, and Chiron can trigger a wound. It can also heal, be healing energy toward a wound. Don't assume that people are going to understand what you said or what you mean. So you have to be uber careful today to say what you mean and understand that people may not get it, right? They may look at you with a blank stare, or they may react to something that you're saying because they thought you intended to say something else. So we're misreading signals today. It causes an in conjunct is a 150 degree angle or relationship between planets, which means that sometimes we have to make these adjustments, or we have to step back completely out of the picture for a minute to look back in and see what it was that we need to do in order to be able to work with the energies. That angle puts planets in signs that are unfamiliar with one another, that don't have a common playground from which they can understand one another. So it's very difficult already because of the nature of the planets themselves. And then you add an in conjunct into that and you start to see where our words and our mind and our thoughts aren't quite connected to the healing energy that we need. Oh, so we might inadvertently say or do things that people might interpret differently. So just being careful with that. That's a shorter lasting transit. Mercury moves fairly quick. We're done with it after today. Mars squaring Saturn. I'm not sure that we're done with that one very quickly because, first of all, Saturn is in retrograde. It's already slowed down. Mars is preparing to go retrograde. He's slowing down. So even though they're seemingly moving in opposite directions, one backward, one forward, they're slow enough at this particular moment that it can be elongated for a couple of days this week. So just if things don't work out right now, and they don't work out tomorrow, there's always hope for later in the week. But we also have the other transits during the week that may make this a difficult week to get where you want to go. And that's okay. Just slow it down. Don't make it mean anything other than what it is in the moment, some hurdle or some block or resistance that's there. It doesn't mean it's going to be there forever. And you could actually, you know, ask for clarity from the universe. You could just slow down, go into a meditative state and ask for clarity around what is the meaning of this block? Is there something I'm missing? Is there something, some person that I'm waiting to show up? There are a lot of different things that it can mean without it meaning that you're doing something wrong or that the universe is being unkind or ungenerous to you. So don't go there. Don't let yourself get slipped into that, oh, woe is me victim energy. That's what you really want to avoid. All right, so let's look a bit at the Human Design Week. In fact, I'm going to show you a Human Design chart. First, let me check in and see if there are other people here. Kimberly, good morning. JLo says, the word says it all, as you, me, assume, as, how does that go? Making assumptions makes an ass out of you and me or something like that. It's kind of an interesting word, I would say. Amy, energy, good morning. It's good to see you, a young soul. Good morning. Your Rueda says, today was a crazy day for me. I just want to go to bed and sleep. Oh, yo. Joshua, it's not done yet. It's been lovely. Thank you. I'm not sure what that was. Oh, the weekend isn't done. Ah, maybe you take off. Maybe you work on Saturday. You take off Sunday and Monday. That would be fun. Tati, good morning to you. And let's see, Joy Ann, howdy all, Andy Girl, Grand Rising, Courtney, good morning, and it's good to see everybody checking in, and if I missed somebody, I apologize. Don't forget, Asa is out there. She is my new apprentice, and she is helping me to stay on target, to catch the comments that I miss. She's also been oh so helpful in getting Instagram messages out. I absolutely love that I can count on her to do that for me or with me, because that's so difficult for me to be able to do all the social media work. There's so many social medias, and some people are playing on Instagram. Other people are on Facebook. Twitter just seems to be a politics mess. I'm not even sure why I post there anymore. And so it's very helpful to have her in the background there. Thank you, Asa. Now, I was going to show you the Human Design chart for the day. Let me make sure I have that open before I try to open it and can't. It's going to be under downloads. There we go. Now I can share my screen. So I had a momentary pause this morning as an article, just as I was getting ready to sit down at my desk, came across that said Zoom was having problems today all around the world with it crashing. And I was like, oh my goodness. And it was from the BBC. So it made me think, oh, this is happening in Europe, but it was also happening on the East Coast. But I did not seem to have any problems, and keeping my fingers crossed that all is well now and Zoom has figured out what the crash was all about. Here is our Human Design chart for the week. This is called a Just Now chart from Jovian Archive. And it is a chart that takes this moment and plots where all the planets are. So this is energy that you can take if you know your own human design and sort of overlay it to your human design to see where things are happening that aren't normally a part of your human design. So for example, everyone right now has a defined head and a defined ajna, and that's been ongoing for a while. And so this particular channel, this channel 6124, which connects the gate of rationalization to psychosis, has been a real problem on the planet. And we are all, even if you have an open head and ajna by birth, we are all tempted to really connect to what we are thinking, that we believe we think suddenly that our thoughts are the real thoughts, that it's difficult to tease out what is your thinking versus what is other people's thinking, because the conditioning field now is really kind of set in place. It's sort of set in stone. And so we have to be able to, you know, I say that it's set in stone, but really it's up to you as an individual to choose what your thoughts are going to be about. The high side of this particular gate 61, rather than being in psychosis, you could be in awe and wonderment and really being open to all the magic and the wonder of the universe, and saying even things like, well, I wonder how this is helping humans evolve. I wonder how this is playing into the grand scheme of things, as opposed to going down the drain with conspiracy theorists and all the different voices of reason or unreason out there, as it were. So here is a call for all of us to stay clear in our thinking processes, but also to know that right now you might not be able to help that you're thinking a lot, that your mind is really activated and you're trying to make sense of everything that's out there, but you can't make sense of psychosis. You can't make sense of addiction and addictive thinking and the addictive behaviors of people. So here we have this big call, this big opportunity, if you were, to be able to recognize our thoughts and to not overly identify with our thoughts. Now, added to this pack at 61, it was Jupiter and it was Saturn and it was Pluto all together at one point. And then Jupiter and Saturn moved off and then it was just Pluto. But now we can see we have Pluto there, and we have Saturn in retrograde moving back toward that same gate. So even though Jupiter isn't there yet, he will eventually get there as well. So we have Saturn and Pluto both at the gate 61. So getting caught up in a thinking funk, getting caught up in a thinking, what do we call that? A rat wheel or a rat, what do you call that? The wheel. Some kind of dharmic wheel or karmic wheel of thinking. So we're needing to really be clear about the fact that who's thinking our thoughts, right? Are you thinking your thoughts or are you not? Right? You are always thinking your thoughts, by the way. That's the clue. You're the one that's causing the thoughts. Something outside of you may trigger a thought, but you're the one that's always in control of what it is that you're thinking about. If you find yourself, your mind wandering off into ugly territory, bring it back, right? No one else can do that for you. You have to do it yourself. And you can do that by changing up the atmosphere in your house or wherever you are. Maybe light a candle, maybe spray some, you know, essential oil, or put a diffuser on, something that changes up the smell in the room. You can move yourself out of the room that you're in to a different room or go outside. There are lots of things that you can do to break the spell of the process of thinking or overthinking. The throat center now is connected via the 1222 to the emotional center. This is our channel, one of our channels of the involution that's occurring within us, right? Involution, meaning the inner world and how we're connecting up to spirit, how we're recognizing our divineness. And this is the gate of charm and grace. It is a very graceful, F-U-L-L, full place in our chart, but it's moody. It is sitting on the emotional center. So if you're feeling like you're up, then you're down, and you're up, then you're down, it's a possibility that that is what you're tapping into, is the emotional center. If you are already emotionally defined, you may not even notice that there's something weird going on. But if you are open emotionally right now, this is defined to the throat. You may be speaking more emotionally now. Other people around you may be speaking more emotionally now. They can be more moody. This is a channel that's very much bold in one moment and shy in the next moment. Saying things in a very nice and easy way one moment, and then in the next moment, unable to bring out the words in a way that is nice. right? So we have a speaking issue going on here as well. So check your charts and see if you have 12 and 22 open, then right now you have them defined. Now, the then there's another, so this makes a split here, by the way. The mind is one, if we were to look at this as a person, this person would have triple split definition because we have these two centers connected, we have these two centers connected, and then we have these two centers connected, but they are not interconnected. So these two don't connect here, and these two don't connect up here, nor do none of them are interconnected. So we have three specific areas of our chart. We have a mind that's going crazy. We have emotional energy that's triggered. And then we have this channel here connecting up the sacral to the root center. And that is Mars at gate 42 and what's at 53? Venus, Mars and Venus. So we're having to work through some issues here of when do we take action and when do we rest? This is a center, this one here, the bottom, the root center, is a center that pulses on and off energetically. And we may miss the pulse off and we keep working, we keep pushing, we keep doing. So we have to be very careful that we build in time for rest because the pressure in that center is about doing. Now, the real reason I brought you here is because I wanted to show you where the sun and the earth are sitting this week. The sun is sitting at the gate 59, while the earth is sitting at the gate 55. Now, 59 is sitting here on the sacral center, and it's moving over toward the energy of the emotional center or the solar plexus. This is called the gate of sex. It is also called the gate of reproduction, but this is an energy that is distinctly masculine, and it is a gate whose true purpose is providing resources for the tribe or the community, right? The family. And its potential here is that through relationship that is built on sex and emotional intimacy, which is over here on this side, that a bond is formed that provides stability for a family, which then provides stability for a tribe or a community, which then, you know, you weave those different types of relationships together and it weaves a strong bond of the nation or the state or the area, let's say, that you live in. Unfortunately, we've taken this energy and it's been bastardized over the years, over the millennia, because this didn't just happen like in the last 20 years, where the consequences of sex have been lost, right? That there are a lot of people out there trying to raise a family. They're single family moms, single family or single dads, trying to do the best they can to raise a family, but this is a channel that was meant for bonding, where that kind of decision was met with clarity over time so that the consequences of sex, which are pregnancy, that leads to children, that it would provide a stability for the family setting. So the alignment here is very, very important. And it doesn't mean that if you had a child without, you know, a marriage or something like that, that you're a bad person. It just makes it a little more difficult because this gate then is acting double time. It's acting like provider and the other side, the matriarchal side, the mothering side, the nurturing side. So nurturing then gets connected to providing. Where in the natural order of things, it is the masculine energy that protects and provides based on what it is that the matriarchy or the maternal or mother says is needed, right? So she sets the values, she sets the needs, the masculine goes out and provides for that. Now, that's gotten a little wigged out here in our human design, but here's the real high side potential in this particular gate, should we choose to go down this road, is that we have the potential here for people to rise up to the surface, to become our leaders who are responsive to the needs, that are responsive in connecting us with our values and providing the resources necessary to transform our society into one where everybody's needs are getting met. that provides the resources for that, that provides a unifying force in the universe or in the family, in the tribe, in the community, in the state, in the government, in the whatever, you name it. This is the potential, the high side of this particular energy of the sun at the gate 59. And indeed, it may put a lot of focus on where it is that we are out of alignment with that, where people's needs aren't getting met, and that we have to go back to the most common denominator, which begins with family, supporting the children, the weakest links, right? So we have to support the weakest links in order to make sure that the stability of the community that our nations are built upon are strong. I hope everybody sees that. It's just so important and it's so glossed over, right? That we have to really see that there's something very important here. It's on the sacral. That means it's very much about using our energy in the right way, our vitality, our life force in the right way. Now, the gate of the earth this week, she's sort of the one that lays down the gauntlet. This is the earth kind of sometimes challenges us to evolve toward the high potential of the sun. But the high potential of the earth herself is in the gate of abundance, the abundance of spirit. And this is the gate where we have to trust in source, or trust in God, or trust in your higher self, trust in the connection between spirit and human beings or life in general, that we are able to align ourselves emotionally to get every need fulfilled, that we don't necessarily have to look outside of us for that, that we can trust that it's all happening in exactly the right way. But a lot of times we totally lose sight of that. And here we are able to, at least during this particular week, and this week lasts through to the 28th, and then we go into a new week. So the 29th Saturday, we'll enter into a new week. So for most of the week, we may be in a process of realigning ourselves on a consistent basis with the energies of trust and faith in a higher power, but also doing the right steps, taking the right steps, being responsive to being able to do the work that's necessary to provide sustenance. Now, let's look at sustainability. I'm going to stop sharing this for a minute. And I just saw Asa sent me a message. Okay, good. That's a great question, Camilla. I will get to that in just a moment. So when we're looking at the gate 59, and we're looking at it strongly because it's the sun, right? It's the sun. It's the most powerful energy of the week, of these days. The earth is bringing up this need that we have to be able to have faith and to trust in the universe, trust that everything is working out the way it's supposed to be. But this particular gate 59 doesn't end with the act of sex that makes a child, right? It doesn't end there. Because the child's needs are constant, right? There's the sustain, you have to have the sustainability. You have to have the foundation to be able to sustain at least for, you know, the 18 years you have a child at home. And then if you think it's done, then it isn't. They still need support. They still need people in their lives. And then once you get through the children and they move on out, they need to have that ability to sustain themselves, because then as you're getting older, your kids end up helping provide for you. And it is a circle, right? It is a circle of protection. It is a circle of provision for the needs of everyone, all the humans on the planet. But it begins with each family and moves out to the community. So where there are holes in the family, then the community steps in and fills that void. And where there's a void in the community, the people step up and they help fill that. So this is a mutually beneficial cycle here between the gate 59 and how it relates from the sacral, the energy here, to the emotional center. So everything is being handled and you have the sustainability which you need in order to be able to do that. So it all begins with the decision in the very beginning. right? The beginning, the decision to have sex and to start a family, that is starting of that foundation. And no judgment here if things turned out backwards, but you can tell what a problem it can create for a community or a tribe to have things all mixed up, right? To have things not working out in the right order of things. It doesn't say that it's wrong. It doesn't say that it's bad. It just says that it's more difficult, right? Because then you have maybe one parent trying to provide both the support and the providing of protection and resources, as well as the teaching and the caring and the nurturing of, and the disciplining of. So interesting energies for this particular week. Now, Camilla asked the question. I missed the question. There it is. It says she wants to know how to bring the human design chart of the day to her own chart. Well, it's super easy. You have your own chart in front of you. Now, let's go back. I'll share my screen again. That's not sharing the screen. That's not the one. There it is. Okay. Here we go. So here we've got the chart again. Looking at your own chart now, you guys. Have your own chart in front of you. Do you have the gate 61 defined or the gate 24 defined? If the answer is no, suddenly you do, because these two, so you have to almost see them side by side. Right? You have to maybe go to Jovian and check and see what's going on. What's the just now chart looking like? And you can see if you don't have, like, I know my own chart in my head, I do not have gate 61. And I do have something, I think, of the moon at gate 24. So this whole channel has defined my head in Ajna. And I do not normally have this kind of head in Ajna definition. Now you can also look at the Ajna and see, do you have gate 11 defined? I do, so I know this isn't really a change for me, but if you do not, suddenly you do. Same thing here. Ooh, hello, Mercury. With the gate 1222, the channel 1222. Do you have anything sitting at 12, and do you have anything sitting at 22? Because now the whole channel is filled in. I have a gate 12 that hangs, and that means that gate 22 meets up with it. Now I have this whole channel of speaking very emotionally. Right? And then we have the gate one defined. So you just go through each of the gates or the channels that are defined in the daily chart and compare it to your own personal chart. The more you know your own chart, the more you keep that chart in front of you. Getting a reading helps, or at least every day checking your human design chart and seeing, okay, this is what I look like energetically. And now we added the sun at gate 59. And suddenly that's hanging here. For me, it's hanging too, because I don't carry the gate 59 or the gate 6. But now they're there, or gate 59 is there, so that is hanging in my chart as well. This whole channel, 4253, is the gate of starting things and finishing things. So it's a gate of completion, and it's the gate of the new beginning that leads to celebration of the ending. And that is I don't have either of those gates. Suddenly that connects, pulls together my sacral and my root center. And for you all, that's how you do this. You take your own chart and you compare it to the chart of the day. And you can get the chart of the day just by going to jovianarchive.com. And up in the top right corner, they'll have... did I stop sharing? Yes. Okay. So if you go to jovianarchive.com, there's a tab that says resources. If you drop that down, you'll see just now chart. That's how you get a just now chart. You could do that in the morning and compare your chart to what is happening in the stars above. Now, one word of caution, the moon moves through anywhere from 2 to 3 gates in a day. So it can change throughout the day based on the moon. So that's why throughout the day, different things, different doors open, different doors close for each of us. So I hope that makes sense. I'm going to go back and check and see, make sure all of that's making sense for everybody. Joy Ann says, but what about the shift from the family building background program to Phoenix Rising? That's a whole different story. That is a whole different story, Joy Ann, that is based on the solar plexus transformation. And that is something that I'll be talking about Wednesday night. If you want to join up with Angel Heart Radio, thank you for bringing it up and leaving the opening here. Over time, the solar plexus and its mutation will take us more to the sleeping phoenix. It does change the nature of some of the energy, but it's not the gate 59 that gets affected. And it is not the gate 6 that gets affected in that. If anything, it strengthens that in a way, because what happens is it starts to put pressure on the population on a downward spiral so that there are more resources to support the people that are here. And that, again, if I open up that can of worms, that's going to sound really bad. But over the course of time, our effect of the sleeping phoenix really does start to trend the population down. I've heard up to 50% of the population. So this is, of course, over time. It's not like tomorrow that this happens. But it makes us less fertile. Perhaps there's something there. Perhaps it is that we are less desirous of sexual connection. That's also been, I've heard that as well. So we'll get into the bigger depths of this over time in the next 7 years as we're preparing right now for this particular change, this evolution. It'll be the newer generations that come in that will really push that. It's not so much those of us that are here on the planet right now will be affected by it, but it'll be the newer generation that comes in that really begins this process of reduction in population through being a little more asexual than sexual. I mean, I know it's hard to conceive of that right now. It blows me away to try to conceive of that, but it's definitely in the process. Andy girl, single mom here, definitely isn't for the faint of heart. No kidding. And Joy Ann has her Human Design app. That's another way to do it. You can get your, I'm not sure who does the Human Design app. I did not like it. I had it on my phone for a while, but I did not like it. It had too many errors in it. And I would know this because I would check, you know, a person's chart on it and then go, no, something's wrong. And there were too many errors. Hopefully they've fixed that. But I just noticed too much. So Joy Ann, reproduction levels do shift in a society that is not stressed. It is survival reaction. I see that in my grandkids, the shift ASA says. Yeah, indeed. So, I mean, a lot of the things I think that we'll be talking about on Wednesday with Anaya, I'll be on Angel Heart Radio. It'll be 6:30 p.m. my time. So that makes it a little bit later for those of you on the East Coast, but you can always go to Angel Heart Radio's Facebook page the next morning or the next day sometime, because she puts that recording there. We broadcast live to Facebook and, you know, get some hints about what is to come. Some of those changes are fantastic. Some of them, not so much. It's hard for us here in our world, the way it is at the moment, to really see how everything that's happening right now is in service to what will come. But it really kind of is. And some people like Asa, you're already noticing these changes in your grandchildren. I think I've noticed it in my grandchildren as well. But it'll really be the children of my grandchildren and of your grandchildren that really see that difference take place. And some of you, the older people, especially those of us who've been on the planet for a while, we may go kicking and screaming into this. But trust me when I say there's no choice. This is where it's going, right? This is the evolution that we are expecting. And some of it beautiful, some of it so totally different, but all taking us in service to the divine, to the right place with the right people at the right time and the right energies. Okay, so I didn't see another question. Asa, what was that? Was that Joanne's? Yeah. The shift from the family bill, and does it transform removes about commerce? I don't think it removes it ever. I mean, commerce is a part of the deal. We from our time in the very beginning, we traded, and it can bring some changes to it, though, and how we do it. I think it'll be the spirit of commerce that changes, not so much the idea that we won't trade anymore, but it does change the spirit of it completely. Let's look at the Pleiadian Earth energy for the day. Today we are at 12 listening, which in the Mayan calendar was Akbal. And Akbal was sort of a representation of the night or of a dark space where we go within, we go into the womb, right? It's one of the days of the night, if you will. When you look at the Mayan calendar was a sort of process of a day into a night and a day into a night. And that there was this beautiful format within the calendar that where you could see where we shifted from periods of time that were in the day to periods of time that were in the night. Now, the closer we got to the end of the Mayan calendar, the faster that happened, where at some point toward the end, we were 7 days in a day, 7 days in a night. So things were happening very quickly. Where at other times, when you and I were born, most likely if we were born anytime before the 1980s, even the 1990s, maybe, the periods of time were 20 years long. Before that, they were 400 years long. So if you wonder why time feels like it's sped up, it's because the length of time between the days and the nights got shorter, right? So what took the dramas and traumas of a society 400 years to go through in the 1600s and 1700s took us in the 1900s and the late 1800s only 20 years to go through. And then now these things are happening almost on an every other day kind of basis as we transit through days and nights and days and nights. In the day, everything is brighter. We see with clearer eyes. The night is where we go into the dark or the deep. We go within. So extroversion energy, introversion energy, extroversion, introversion. You could think of it as the expressive you, the introspective you. So we have these days and nights that are sort of like breathing that are coming much faster, and it almost tweaks us out because we can only take in so much in any given day. The human brain right now has a flicker frequency, we call it, of, I want to say it's 24 frames per second. And the life on the planet right now is, approaching that number or beyond even at times. And it means we can't take it all in. We can't take it all in. So we have to really be listening energy, Akbal, to what's the most important for you. What's the most important piece that you need to get, the piece of understanding that you need. So today is understanding, which is understanding the natural order of the universe. And the natural order of the universe is about endings that lead to new beginnings that eventually end, and that cycle that goes on and on. It is also the cycle of the more outer world expression followed by the inner world expression, the day followed by the night, the darkness followed by the light. So we have this concept that things are always changing and morphing. And yet it's not, the endings aren't final, right? From an ending, something new comes. So being able to see that and embracing multiple perspectives at one time, universal energy of the day is about seeing the whole picture and how all of the parts make up the whole and how there's a rightness in all of that. Putting all the pieces together to prepare for the next level. That is what the day 12 is all about. We are coming to the end of this spiral of consciousness that started on one choosing, where we were choosing what we were going to do, right? Was it choosing? Yes, because the other one was catalyzing. So one choosing began on August 13th and will end tomorrow with 13 planting. Today, though, we're going into that quiet space within to discover what it is the universe wants of us to hear, to listen to the voice of our higher self, the voice of God, if you will, and for the purposes of self-renewal, right? We're getting ready to ascend. The 13 is the number of ascension. That's where we go tomorrow. So today it is all about taking into consideration everything that you've come to understand about what's going on in your own personal life, as well as the life on the planet in these previous 12 days. Now, listening energy can sometimes bring times of trouble to the forefront, right? Where we need to really be quiet and go within to really hear the truth about what is happening. Deep listening then provides us with that insight and the direction that we need in order to move forward. So today is about bringing spiritual wisdom down into the body and into form. So really walking your talk and living from that place. Sometimes on a day like today, listening energy, we're called in to the stillness. Like you may think you want to go, go, go. You've got things to do. You've got plans, but something else happens that calls you in to that hearing the small voice within, that calls you into that stillness so that you can get clarity about how your actions would be in alignment with your values and with your integrity. So making choices honorably, making choices that are true for you and not necessarily the choices that are made unconsciously just from the pressure of the world and the pressure of the centers that we've just talked about. So this is a day that also calls us for patience, right? Mars squaring Saturn, the moon in Scorpio, these things build up to also the listening energy, calling us for patience so that we can see the widest view from the heart, right? From the heart center. If we step back, get our minds, kind of cut our minds back out of the picture, just stay in the heart, then we can see with bigger eyes. What's our truth, right? What's the major truth that you are meant to see or hear or interact with or to live from, right? Your truth. All right. Pauline, Solia, do you mean the Pleiadian Earth energy? So what was their question? Think there was another show you were doing besides the one at Angel Heart. Do you post on the Facebook page? I am doing two shows this week on Angel Heart Radio. I do a monthly show with Annette McCoy, and it happens to be on Wednesday as well from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. West Coast time. And then at 6:30, so I have a half an hour break after I get done with Annette, and then I go on with Anaya and Carol Ann to do the solar plexus mutation, the second part of that interview with them. When I am on air with Annette, we're going to be talking about Mars's retrograde cycle and what might we expect. I think we sort of alluded to that during some of the daily shows that we've been doing. But here I'm going to take just Mars, and we're going to look at his relationship to the planets that are also in Aries with him, but also the ones that will be squaring him, and what happens after the Mars retrograde, which I also think is important, especially because this will be my last show with Annette before we go into the autumn season, their spring, our autumn. And it sets what happens with Mars will be setting the tone for the fall season for us in the Northern Hemisphere and the spring for them in the Southern Hemisphere. So what tone is being set and what can we expect as we move through the rest of the fall or the rest of the spring? So those are the two shows. The membership she spoke of Friday, I was so busy and missed. Okay, so memberships, for those of you who are in the membership group, starting September 1st, we are doing a deep dive into human design. I'm going to build the case for human design step by step. So if you are not a member, this you can still join at this point in time. It is either $13 a month, or you can pay for 12 months in advance for $144. And you can get access to this course, if you will, that is building from an introduction to human design and what is it and why should you care, to all of the working parts. And then we break down from the types and strategies to the authorities, to the profiles, to each of those energy centers and what do they mean. And then of course, in the energy centers, all the gates and then all the channels. So it is a very intense, it's an intensive, I think is how you could put that. And they will be on Tuesdays from noon to 1 p.m. West Coast time in the Living Astrology Academy's private Facebook group, which you get to join as soon as you join the membership. So yes, if you join this week, you can join us. It's next Tuesday. God, can you believe that? We're going to be in September next week. I can't even believe that. So if you want more information on that, you can go to my website and just scroll down a little bit on the homepage. You'll see Living Astrology Academy, and that, click on that. It will take you to that. Joining now does get you access to that several week long program. In fact, it will be probably months long because I want to make sure everybody really understands human design. I feel like it is, first of all, it is the gateway to the gene keys. And the gene keys take each of the gates in human design to a depth that is absolutely amazing. And I think it builds the conversation. It builds the vocabulary that we need to be able to have this kind of conversation in a way that makes sense to everybody. That isn't just pulling pieces and pieces. Right here, I can't really do that, but I can do that in human design. I mean, in the membership. The membership, She Spoke of Friday. I do post that on Facebook, and I could finally give you some more money. I love it, Joyanne. You're so sweet. Yes, the gene keys. The gene keys are so juicy, so fabulous. But to get there, you really need to understand human design first because it's built upon human design. Now, it doesn't mean you can't pick up the gene keys book and start looking at it now and understand, you know, the gene keys. I don't mean to say that you have to have one in order to have the other. I just think it works I think it helps you understand it deeper if you have a human design sort of background with that. So hopefully we all get to join each other there, and human design and the gene keys are spectacular. And I love that they're not so different from astrology that you can't see how they all fit together. That's the part that I really enjoy. They're like three big puzzle pieces that just come together. And then the Pleiadian earth energy. Remember, I'm interviewing the people that created the calendar along with the Pleiadians on September 17th. So just in a few weeks, they will be here with me in the morning, right here. You won't have to be in the membership for that. It'll be right here in the morning. They're going to talk to us about the new 2021 calendar that's out, along with a new book that's coming out with that, and a little bit of a change in the dynamic of how that calendar is meant to be used for the upcoming year. So I find that fascinating too. I can't wait. They're just lovely people. So, all right, that is it for me today. Pauline says, I am baby I. I think what you mean is you're brand new to all of this, and that's good, right? It's good. You don't have any preconceived notions. You can just learn this from the ground up. You will not need a basic astrology in order to understand human design. It's its own system. It stands apart, but it's including astrology. So it works either way, if you know astrology or not. So yes, you can get your basic astrology chart also from my website, and that's free, as well as a human design chart that's free. And I'm not sure if I've sent that to you, Pauline. Have you requested that? Let me see. I don't know, because sometimes people are one thing on YouTube, and then I go back and I can't find their name, and that's because they were somebody else for real. And I don't see where I've sent you one. So maybe you need to go to my website and request your free human design chart and your free astrology chart. And if you've already done that and you're under somebody else here, I apologize, then you already have everything you need to get started. Okay. Questions. Spirit animal for the collective. I love it. You always remind me of that, Allison. Thank you so much. Here's our animal that will help us get through the week. One of the other things that I have in my mind to share with everybody is that, did you know that the gene keys and the human design also has spirit animals associated with them? So that came because J-Lo sent me a book, and in the book, it talks about the different totem animals that go with the different gene keys. And I've already used gene keys in HD Gates, and I've already used that in working with a woman who, of all things, Susan Bronlin, if you're listening, she had an experience with in Glacier National Park here in Montana. And she had asked the park official about wolverines, and the park director said no one ever sees wolverines. They're just, you know, so they're rare. They hide. No one ever sees one. So she happened to go, you know, off the beaten trail, and she was sitting just looking out. And what did she see? A wolverine. So it was fun to look that up in Gene Keys to see what gene key that was. Now I don't remember, but it was fascinating to connect it. It was connected to the theme of what was going on in her life. Oh, this is a good week. Our card is Wolf Spirit, turning knowledge into wisdom. And it came out in upside down protection mode. Here's Wolf, card number 67, which is a 13, which is a 4. So turn knowledge into wisdom. Let's see what that means. 67, Wolf Spirits, upside down protection. What is unknown is still yet to be discovered. When Wolf Spirit appears, you are being told not to pretend you know something when you don't. You won't impress anyone with a little bit of knowledge. In fact, you rob yourself of a true experience and education if you tell yourself you are done learning or you don't have to know something. Be open, be humble, be teachable, and the world will open itself up for you like magic. Now is the time to look into the world with reverence and awe and insatiable curiosity. You will never grow old if you are willing to keep learning. Wolf Spirit is waiting to be your mystical, loving guide. Perfect. Perfect, perfect. Wolf Spirit. Thank you, Allison, for the reminder to pull a card for the collective. All right, everybody. Well, that is it for me today. I hope you all have a wonderful day. I will see you tomorrow at 8 a.m. Pacific time right here on YouTube. Thank you all for joining me. Thank you, Asa, for being a voice in the background for me. See you tomorrow.